Good morning. It is 9:08, and looks like it's going to be a nice one. Pleasant 40 now. I'm Larry Long, and welcome to Over the Garden Fence with your host, gardening expert Andy Waddell. Over the Garden Fence is brought to you by Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center at the corner of Milliman 12th Street. And now, here's your host, Andy Waddell. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Real good, thank you.
Man, it is a nice day.
Oh, yeah. Going to be a nice weekend.
Yeah. Finally,
we finally made it.
I think we're over the hump, everybody. Yeah, I know that slushy rain last week I wasn't looking forward to. But you know what? Sunny skies. I even think I've seen Channel 3 say 60, 62 today.
Oh, I think a little more. Yeah, right around there. But then tomorrow 60. Might be in the 70s. So
yeah. Well, in Michigan, heat wave 33, you know, so.
Yeah, that's right. We take what we can get and be happy.
Well, Larry, would you care real quick if we did just a quick little plug?
I wish you would.
You bet. You bet. Hey, folks, we all have a good friend that does the 8 o'clock show that Waddell's has worked hard this week along with River Lake Inn to, we are going to go ahead and sponsor and get Roger Taylor back on to do Birdwatch next Saturday. He will be on. We were trying to get him on this week, but due to, technical difficulties, we'll say, did not make it. So we look forward, everybody, to work very hard on the phone and back and forth this week. Roger, our good friend, will be still sponsored by River Lake Inn. Thank you, Marv, and Waddell's Garden Center. So we look forward to that. And kind of a nice team, Larry, with Roger on, and then Greg on at 8:30, and then Waddell's on.
I think so.
So I just wanted to give a quick little plug, and we look forward to having Roger on next week. So, you know what? Good morning, everybody. And just like Larry said, 62 and maybe even a little nicer today. So, you know what? God has gifted us with many beautiful colors to treat our eyes. I am so glad he specializes in Technicolor. Rainbows, rose blossoms, sunflowers, and sunsets. They wouldn't be very spectacular, would they, in black and white? In spring, no color is more exciting as green. Our Michigan landscape is now awash with refreshing green meadows, budded woodlands, lush lawns, parks, and sprouting gardens. I hope all of you, our green thumb friends, will be able to enjoy the green great event of spring this weekend in your gardens and in many beautiful visits, maybe out in the surrounding counties. We drove by on 131 last night, Larry, and there was a yard that was filled with purple crocus that must have planted originally, and the whole yard was purple, so it's kind of nice.
Absolutely.
So working out in the garden, the most enjoyable way to catch spring green fever this morning. So let's take a stroll around our landscape and garden, and let's make some notes of essential projects that will keep our garden and landscape green and growing. When soils are dry enough to be worked, and I will say this week, I seen the farmers out in the field starting to plow. And to me, that is a good sign. They check the fields, and they really watch, and they're not going to ruin the fields by plowing early. So I feel those soils are dry enough, time to get it rototilled. Cool weather crops could be planted now. Peas, onions, lettuce, spinach, turnips, kale, beets, potatoes, radishes, gladiolas, sweet peas, all can be direct seeded or set out in your gardens now. Potted fruits like blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, grapes, fruit trees can all be set out now. I've got a hard frost. It's good to get them out now so they can get acclimated. If you get a hard frost, you can always cover them for the night. So if you winterized your roses, hydrangeas, and butterfly bush by mounding them this past winter with shredded bark or peat moss, I would go ahead and start uncovering them now. If covering like rose cones were used, remove them on a warm sunny day. Be sure to replace them on the frosty nights. After uncovering the rose, hydrangea, and butterfly bush, prune them back to the green wood. Now, if you're mulching, I suggest starting to move them back. And so it's like setting a board on the ground. And if you set it down too long, the grass grows white. Well, same with the new growth underneath the mulch. Go ahead and remove that mulch away. The plant will start budding out. You get a cold night, just go over there for 1 minute and take some of that mulch and just scatter it over the top of the buds and make it overnight a lot better without getting the frost on the new buds. But if you are working with the roses and you're working with hydrangeas, now is the time for our first monthly rose feeding. Fertilize roses with 5 pounds of composted cow manure and 3/4 cup of Espoma rose tone. Use Espoma rose tone once a month with last feeding around August 1st. This fertilizing program will actually encourage rose plants to produce the best flowers and the best foliage possible. So if you're going to be pruning out dead wood in the roses and into the buddleia and in the hydrangeas, let's just go real fast, everybody. Lots of questions on pruning the last couple of weeks. A lot of damage with the animals, mice, shrew, voles, rabbits. So if you need to do some pruning, now is the time. If pruning is necessary on deciduous shrubs and evergreens, go ahead and do that. If the flowers are desired, prune spring flowering plants after they flower. If there is summer blooms that are necessary, prune now, like burning bush and Rose of Sharon and hydrangeas. So we come back in a second. We can continue on more of the pruning.
All right, and if you have a question for Andy this morning, we'd love to hear from you. 382-4280 or toll free 877-382-4280 over the garden fence. We'll be right back.
Wouldn't you like to feed your family only healthy food that you know where it came from? Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center is hosting a Plant for Your Health event next Saturday with loads of information on how to grow the freshest, most nutritional food around. Come to the free seminars and visit all the fun booths like the Cheese Smith and the Blueberry Store. Visit with the Kalamazoo Bee Club to learn about bees and honey and taste a sweet sample. Kids will get to plant a strawberry plant in a pot and take home, and the Burpee Seed Rep will be on hand to answer your seed starting questions. All this, plus a chance to sign up for great door prizes, will be at the Plant for Your Health event next Saturday at Waddell's. Also, be sure to pick up some fresh herb plants. All varieties are on sale this week for just $2.79. You can also get the best buy of the season on apple, peach, pear, and plum trees, now just $34.88 or $29.99 if you buy 10 or more. Come in for the Plant for Your Health event next Saturday and go to Waddells.com for information on seminar titles and times. Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center is on Texas Drive at the corner of Milam and 12th Street.
And we are back. It is 9:15 and 40 degrees. Once again, here's your host for Over the Garden Fence, Andy Waddell.
All right. Thank you, everybody. And just talking about quick pruning. And, you know, if pruning is necessary on deciduous shrubs and evergreens, I would say now you could get started. If flowers are desired on your spring plants, go ahead and prune them after they bloom. Things that bloom in the summertime, things like Rose of Sharon, shrub hydrangeas, those could all be pruned today because they bloom on summer wood. So if you prune a hard prune on them right now, it'd be fine for them. Things like privet, honeysuckle, dogwood shrubs, all could be cleaned up right now. Clean out the dead wood, clean out the old, get the plant to breathe and rejuvenate. So since butterfly bush bloom on new growth and hydrangeas bloom on new growth, on a lot of the woody forms, and early spring feeding would be able to help produce more flowers for the plant. So a little Espoma plant tone would be good, or rose tone would be good on either one of those. If hydrangeas were fed last October, no fertilizer is needed now. But if not, on the hydrangea macrophyllias, the large leaf, go ahead and use holly tone in April and in June. So we can come back to more of our notes, Larry, and maybe we can take a call from Richard in Kalamazoo.
Let's do that. Richard, good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I've got a question. We've got a couple holly shrubs, and the deer this winter, the reason we've set the holly shrubs out, because we've got deer in our area quite a lot, and believe it or not, they sucked off every leaf that was on both of the shrubs there, and they didn't eat any of the other plant, just the leaves. And I'm wondering if they will push out new leaves for this summer, or should I just consider them gone?
Richard, I would not consider them gone. I would consider them maybe that deer actually did you some benefit. It sounds funny, but holly pruned, that holly will come back probably no problem. Will it be smaller? Sure it will. So will some of the leaves pulling off slow the plant down from leafing out this spring? A little bit. But holly, though it is an evergreen, Richard, because it's got all its leaves nipped off, as soon as we get some warmth, chances are that will bud right back out.
Well, that's good news. That's what I wanted to hear.
Yep. Now, hey, on holly is one thing, but when you start getting like yews, evergreens that hold needles, not leaves, that's when people have more of a problem because you get down into a dead zone where there is no leaf left. It's hard for that plant to pop back out. But holly would be one to be no problem.
Hey, very interesting, and I appreciate it. We like your show.
Thank you, Richard, for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, Larry, we got a lot of deer. I didn't see a deer this morning, but just a couple nights ago. They're all over. And
oh, absolutely.
The forage is coming, but it's not quite yet. And that's why in the last couple of weeks, people are still seeing a lot of activity in the yard and in the landscaping.
I saw three of them feeding in my backyard the other day, and I live in town.
Yeah.
So they're running out of places to go out there. It's sad. We have Mary and Lawton on the line. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mr. Waddell.
Hey, Mary, how can I be of help?
Well, I have rhubarb, but I just raked the leaves off of it and noticed that the leaves are yellow. What do they need?
A lot of that, Mary, is probably that you are just raking off the leaves.
Oh.
Yep, you're probably seeing that plant, those leaves have pushed out underneath the leaves and have no sunlight to them. And so as soon as you remove some of those leaves, you'll probably see that plant flush out no problem. Now, if you wanted to do a little feeding on it, you could do a like a little spoma plant tone around it. You could put a little cup or cup and a half established rhubarb on that, Mary.
Okay.
Is it an established one?
Yes.
Quite old. Oh, yeah. Probably a cup and a half of the espoma plant tone would be good around it. Not directly on the plant, but I like putting maybe a couple of shovelfuls of composted cow manure around it, too. That helps. I don't want to directly apply, but around the outside edges. That would be good. Probably you'll see that plant after a couple of weeks, probably that yellow leaf will turn right into green.
Wonderful.
Yep. Yep. Once you see that, it's almost like Mary throwing a board on the lawn and the lawn grows. You pull it up, and the lawn is yellow and white. A few days later, as soon as you remove that board, that lawn will start turning green. Probably the same thing with that rhubarb foliage.
Good deal. Well, thank you so much.
All right, Mary. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, everybody's wanting to get out in the garden, so that's kind of a good sign. From hollies to rhubarb, there's a lot of things that can be done out in the yard. So we were talking to somebody just last night about transplanting. So, Ashley, right now you have plenty of time to start moving trees, shrubs, evergreens, ground cover, perennials. We have a late spring, so you have many weeks that you could be moving stuff around. So as you're transplanting, go ahead and prune them, dig the roots up, prune the branches back about 20% before lifting the plant. You've severed the roots, sever the top. Now prepare the new planting site properly. Make sure that the hole is about 50% bigger, mixing it with peat moss, composted cow manure, and setting it back in the hole, same depth as originally planted, and then soaking it with root stimulator. So a lot of people like from shade trees, evergreens, rhubarb can all be moved around now. So we could take another caller if you want, Larry.
All right, let's do that. We have Dina in Pawpaw on the line. Good morning, you're on the air.
Hey, Dina.
Yes, I have a question on lavender. I have a small patch in my flower garden, and I'm confused about when and if I should trim that back a little.
Yep, gets pretty woody, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yep, and on one of those, Dina, I would go ahead. I have it at my house, and the last fall I did not prune it back because I sometimes you do the hard pruning and Mother Nature still kills out more. So I would go ahead and prune it in the spring on lavender every time.
Okay.
And then what do you think that is? You think you got it at knee height? Think it's 20,
almost.
24 inch? Yeah. See, once lavender gets established, I would go ahead and give it a haircut. Probably in half. You could probably take it down to 10 or 12 inches. And even some of that gets kind of woody in there. You could actually take a little pruner and clean out some of that older wood, probably even rejuvenate that lavender a little bit at the same time.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Good luck, Dina.
Bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks very much for the call, Dina. And we will be right back. If you have a question for us, give us a call at 382-4280 or toll free 877-382-4280. It is 822.
left most lawns in our area suffering from snowplow, mole, and road salt damage. The lawn experts at Waddell's want you to know that now's a great time to repair these spots. And now's also when you'll get great prices on Waddell's exclusive grass seed blends. This week, Waddell's disease-resistant Supreme Sunny Lawn Seed is just $3.80 a pound. And City Mix Grass Seed for high traffic areas is just $3.06 a pound. Have a shady spot? Get Waddell's Deluxe Shady. It's just $3.94 a pound. Waddell's grass seed is sold in bulk so you can get just the right amount you need. All quantities are on sale, including 5, 25, 50, and 100-pound sizes. Before putting in your grass seed or sod, be sure to bring in a 6x6-inch sod sample to Waddell's for free soil analysis and lawn improvement program. Be sure to put on starter fertilizer when planting your grass seed for better germination and deeper rooting. Max Lawn Starter Fertilizer is just $12.99 for the 5,000-square-foot bag. Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center, helping to green Southwest Michigan for 68 years, is on Texas Drive at the corner of Mill and 12th Street.
And we are back. It is 9:23 now. It's an hour behind there. And welcome back to Over the Garden Fence with your host, gardening expert Andy Waddell. And once again, here's Andy.
You bet, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you, callers. Got any questions out in the yard or landscaping? Give me a call. So I'd like to help you out. So talking about transplanting just now, and from a lot of times people will do the to buy the blue spruce from Arbor Day Foundation, run them in a row. They're going to set them in a little 6 inches apart and then move them when they get older. And a lot of times people grow blue spruce for their kids' college graduation and college money. And so, but then the spruce all get big and they're all crammed together. And you know what? Now is the time to start moving stuff like that. You got a tree that needs to get moved out in the yard. Go ahead and think of a caliper size of the trunk. And if it's a 1-inch caliper, we'd suggest at least a 12-inch root ball. 2-inch caliper, 24-inch root ball. And what you're trying to do is get enough roots so you actually have some transplant success. We're talking about putting in peat moss, composted cow manure, setting the plant in at the same soil depth, putting in a root stimulator solution on it at the same time, and then beneficial mites will go down into that roots and make sure planted around it. You go ahead and put mulch on the top, and go ahead and stake the tree to make sure the wind does not move the tree around as it's trying to root. Especially, you guys can a lot of times see where somebody has pulled a tree out of a woods and has put that poor tree that has never been out in the open, wide out in the front yard, and that's blown around, and it can't seem to set itself, can't root in. So just ideas on transplanting. Now is the time. You know, and all, since it's still mid-April, I know I don't want to talk about, but insects need to start being controlled now. If your white pine or scotch pine or blue spruce have dead terminal shoots every summer, the culprit is usually white pine weevil. White pine weevil becomes active in early April. Adult weevils lay eggs in treetops, which develop into larvae that bore into the terminal shoots, which subsequently die. Timing on your control program is very important. Spray 38 plus on terminal shoots when the buds begin to swell. Again, another item, European pine shoot moth on damage on Austrian, Mugo, Scotch, and red pine is again very similar, all killing the terminal shoots. Pine shoot moth damage is recognized by the curled dead branch tip ends. Control white pine moth damage by sprays again, 38 plus at the bud swell and again in late June. Another damaging borer that needs to again be controlled is Zimmerman pine shoot moth. Zimmerman pine borer can damage and kill trees by girdling both branches and the trunk. 38 plus again is our choice. Austrian pines is usually the culprit. So a couple items right there as far as borer damage if you're going to try to control and help your healthy evergreens. Climbing leaf-eating caterpillars such as cankerworm and gypsy moth larvae have been reduced in numbers by applying tanglefoot to tree trunks now. First, wrap tree wrap or band around the trunk, then apply the tanglefoot to the band. The bang of tanglefoot will trap the adult moths and the caterpillars as they move up and down the tree. Now is the best time to also address your dogwood health problem. Discourage borers by keeping all vegetation away from the trunks. Mulch with 2 inches of cedar wood chips. prune out any dead branches and remove the water sprouts from trunks, especially on Korean dogwood. Korean dogwood at my house seemed to struggle until I found out some solutions a couple years back. I was letting all the interior of the tree grow because the outside was struggling so much. Cleaned all those sucker sprouts out or water sprouts out. Plant shot out all kinds of new growth last year, fed it real hard, and got a lot better Korean dogwood, a happier dogwood than years before. Apply systemic tree and shrub insect control to the soil and water in thoroughly. Fertilize dogwoods now with Hollytone if you can. Prevent dogwood anthracnose disease with sprays of Halt fungicide in May and June, and then one spray of Manab during the fourth week of September. So a lot of times we see our native dogwoods really struggling. And so a lot of times I've seen where people allow vines like Thorndale ivy growing up the trunk of the dogwood, and we're actually discouraging from doing that. So just trying to get the health of the dogwood. Maple, oak, ash trees right now are all infested with leaf gall mites, are often infested with leaf gall mites, excuse me. Disfigured and unsightly leaves are the result of leaf gall infestation. To control leaf galls, spray with 10% permethrin at bud opening again 2 weeks later when the leaves are fully open. Now, speaking with George this morning, we know that as far as sprays for your dormant spray for fruit trees, if you guys look closely, we had a cold week this week. I looked just last night. My apple buds have not popped. My peach and the cherry have popped. So probably on dormant spraying, you're going to have to do the summer rate, which is half strength if you're going to be spraying. And again, look at each plant, everybody. If you guys have a plant that is dormant and it has not popped out other parts of the area, maybe part of the yard that is cooler than the other parts, some things haven't popped. That could have the full spray still. But again, remember, if you see the sheath, or you see the green starting to swell on that bud, go ahead and apply the summer rate, not full strength rate, of the dormant oil. If your clematis is not improving as well as you'd like, maybe consider these suggestions. Every April, feed clematis with 1/2 cup sulfate of potash and 10 pounds of cow manure. Again, I repeat, 1/2 cup of sulfate of potash and 10 pounds of composted cow manure. Clematis vines are heavy feeders and appreciate frequent feedings 4 times a year. I like to go ahead and feed them with the Espoma Rose Tone. They love it. You can actually do a liquid food on top of that on the foliage once the plant gets going. Once the blooming is started, feed May, June, July, and August if possible. Once a month. In July, then, feed with another 1/2 cup of potash. From April through September, clematis vines actually require 4 gallons of water a week. Mulch clematis with 2 inches of coca mulch to keep the roots coiled and moist. Be sure to keep mulch 4 inches away from the stem and the crown. Spray clematis vines with Halt fungicide every 2 weeks in April and once again in June and September. In September, fertilize clematis with 1/2 cup of bone meal and 15 pounds of cow manure. So in the fall, bone meal and the compost, and the spring, sulfate of potash and compost. What we're trying to do is, I swear, Larry, I struggle with this vine. Clematis I really do like.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear my sister has just gorgeous clematis, and they shovel snow on it. It's right by the front door. They ignore it, and I shouldn't say ignore it. It's not my house, but it's just loaded with flowers, almost like a weed. It's so it's just hundreds of flowers, and I can't even get 10 flowers.
More resilient than yours.
It is. So wow. We're just trying to help people with clematis. So when we come back, Larry, right. I have got a fruit lineup for the Plan for Your Health weekend and maybe some of the tastefully ideas with fruits that we got on our lineup this year.
Very good, Andy. And we still got some time. If you have a question, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280 over the garden fence. We'll be right back.
Want the greenest lawn in town? Weddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Centers, featuring their all-season Fertilome phosphorus-free lawn program, which contains everything your lawn needs in four easy steps. The first step, applied in April, feeds lawns and makes grass darker green and thicker without the burst of fast growth. It also prevents and controls crabgrass and many broadleaf weeds. The second step feeds your lawn and contains the best weed killer available in an easy-to-apply granular formula. The third application keeps lawns deep green with an extra dose of iron, as well as the needed trace elements to keep grass plants healthy. The last application of winterizer is recommended for fall use to build strong, deep roots. You get the whole top-quality Fertilome all-season lawn program at a much more economical price than a lawn service. That's more results for less expense. Try it out. Weddell's is so sure you'll love it that they offer a 100% unconditional guarantee. Have questions about your lawn? Bring in your sod sample for a pH test and free soil analysis by the lawn experts at Weddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center on Texas Drive at the corner of Millman 12th Street.
Welcome back. It is 9:32 and a very nice morning. It is 42. And once again, here's your host for Over the Garden Fence, Andy Weddell.
Thank you, everybody. And thanks for joining this morning. And, you know, next weekend, we have Plant for Your Health Weekend at Weddell's. It is chock full of seminars all day. We have events going on and vendors coming in to kind of go through Plant for Your Health. Things like fruits, berries, potatoes, stuff that you can guys grow your own. Sustainability is a big word now that's being used all over, but maybe this year it's not the burning bush that you put in. Maybe it's a blueberry. Maybe it's not the ornamental tree. Maybe it's an apple tree. So those are different ways that maybe convert over some of your landscaping into something that maybe you can harvest off of. Blueberries, our perennial department has never had more varieties. And I'll go into heavy details next week with Plant for Your Health Weekend. But a couple cool new varieties I'll just highlight real quick. We have a new one called Sunshine Blue. It is a semi-dwarf variety that may be the easiest blueberry to grow. Needs less cold weather to produce fruit, so it's ideal for a southern gardener, yet hardy enough for the north. Tolerates low acid and berries ripen in late June. Long fruiting period, and it only grows 3 to 4 feet and bears actually on hot pink blooms. It's kind of a cool new variety. We have Pink Lemonade. It's a pink blueberry. Here's a sweet treat to delight both the eye and the palate. The delicious berry adds sweetness and a great color to any dessert. Bred by the USDA, this beautiful fruiting shrub serves an attractive ornamental with pink and white flowers and crisp red orange fruit. Foliage in the fall. Pink Lemonade is self-pollinating and berries in late season. We have Toro, which also continues to amaze us with the easy-to-pick berries that hang like grapes from the stocky bush. Not as fast a grower as some of the other variety, Toro has outstanding ornamental qualities. The flowers turn from hot pink to bright white and contrast nicely with bronze-color spring foliage. Deep summer foliage turns to the brightest of reds in the fall, large, mid-sized sweet berries. So we have, it looks like, close to a dozen varieties of blueberries. So with blueberries and raspberries and strawberries, grapes, we have three kinds of blackberry that I'll talk to you about next week. But a lot of fun stuff coming up on the fruits. Now, we talked about cold crops a while ago on stuff that can get in the ground and get established. So I just wanted to maybe end the show with a little thing on some of the items that I'm a history buff, if you guys don't know, and I love to find out details, whether it's our local county or, you know what, today I have a little history, Larry, on peas.
All right.
Some of the things I didn't even know.
No,
so
I'm sure.
I'll just go really fast over it, and I'll just tell you a real fast history. Peas thrive in cool weather, and young plants will actually tolerate light frost. Once germinated, peas adapt very well to cold, damp climate of the early spring. Peas must be planted as early as possible to get the full harvest before hot summer hits. In temperate zones, the saying is, plant peas by St. Patrick's holds true. Otherwise, plant peas about a month prior to the frost-free date. Wow. So a lot of people thinking, man, I just get out. You could have peas in the ground a while ago. Peas prefer fertile, sandy, well-drained, but tolerates moist soils except heavy, heavy clay. Days to maturity on the seed packs, for example, say the days to harvest or days to germinate, for example, if the soil is 40 degrees, it may take a month to sprout, while at 60 degrees, it might only take a week. So the days of maturity can be misleading. So just remember, look on the back of the guide as, or the back of the packet as a guide for determining mid-season and late-season varieties.
All right. Want to take another call, Andy?
We can. Then we can go back to the pea history real quick.
Let's chat with Fred out in Cooper Township. Good morning, Fred. Hey,
good morning. Thank you for sharing that pea history with me. I didn't know that about peas.
Yeah. Did you know, Fred, that peas were thought of till 1659 as a green pea was poisonous? So before that, all the peas were always boiled, and that's why brown and white peas for years, navy beans and things like that, people thought green peas were actually poisonous for many, many years.
So, they are not one of my favorite vegetables. I'm more of a legume person, but yeah, those darn green peas, there's something about them.
Yep. Maybe it reminds you of school when you were forced to eat those canned. The green peas weren't quite green, were they? They were off green.
They were an off green, not a nice shade of green either. Yeah. But yes,
so Fred, sure, for sure. How can I help over in Cooper?
Well, I heard you talking about planting trees, and you know, I love to do that. And I got to give kudos to you and the Waddell family there. I talked to George many years ago. This is the time of year that the soil conservation people sell their fundraising. They sell trees. And for years, I listened to your show on Saturday morning, go pick them up. Well, now I have a second generation because my 6.5-year-old grandson enjoys planting trees in the spring with me.
Oh, nice.
So I have shared that with you. I heard your voice this morning. I was listening to the show, and always the smart tidbits I can get off of you. But, and I had a question, too, but you answered that. Would this be a good time to transplant some small evergreens that I need to move?
Mm-hmm. You know okay. what, Fred, if you get it before the buds start cracking on evergreens, then if you get them in the ground, they don't even feel like they've been transplanted.
Great,
again, an
great.
Evergreen, remember, try to get more root, the better. Fibrous roots, Fred, if you pulled way out and got a lot of extra, you'll be all the benefit. You're not going to get too many roots. So the more root you get, the better survivability you'll get on that evergreen.
Well, great. Great. I'm looking forward to doing that today, and I'm going to go pick my trees up out there. They're on Portage Road now in Milam. They've moved that soil conservation MSU office.
Oh, neat.
So, yeah. So I just wanted to say, hey, I hope your dad's doing well, because I've talked to him for many years. This is probably like the 25th or 26th year that I've been planting trees this way. So,
thank you, Fred.
I try to plant my age worth every year, and it's good for the community. So, and I just had to, say it's fun to share it with family, too, because now my 6.5-year-old grandson is really liking it.
Thank
and
you.
And that's great quality time to spend with family.
You bet. You bet. And George is doing well, and I appreciate, you get that next generation, he might be one of my carryouts someday at Waddell's, and that they get involved. So thank you, Fred, for sharing.
For sure. Have a great day to all of you.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you, Fred. Appreciate the call. Over the Garden Fence with your host, Andy Waddell. We'll be right back on 590 WKZO. It is 940.
This is the time of year birds are nesting, so they need extra food to give them the energy they need to raise their families. Waddell's Garden Center is the place you can always count on for top quality bird feed at great prices. This week, Waddell's has many of the birds' favorites on sale. The 50-pound bag of black oil sunflower seed is just $18.88. Finches love thistle seed. It's on sale for just 99 cents a pound, or get 50 pounds for $42.69. For a big variety of birds, Waddell's recommends Songbird Blend. The 25-pound bag is just $11.88. Both sizes of Waddell's No Waste, No Hulls Blend are on sale. 100% seed hearts with no mess to clean up. Save even more by taking advantage of Waddell's Wild Bird Feed Frequent Buyer Program. Buy any 12 bags of mixed wild bird feed and receive the 13th bag free. If you need a birdhouse or feeder, be sure to check out Waddell's selection of Made in Michigan Stovall Cedar Feeders and Houses and Aspects Tube Feeders that come with a lifetime guarantee. Waddell's Garden Center, your bird feeding headquarters for 68 years, is on Texas Drive at the corner of Milam and 12th Street.
And welcome back. We'll be wrapping things up in just a few minutes here. But once again, here's your host for Over the Garden Fence, gardening expert, Andy Waddell.
Hey, thank you, everybody. And Fred, thank you for sharing, getting your 6.5-year-old.
Yeah, that was a good call.
You bet. And you get that next generation planting trees. You know what? Sometimes it's hard to drag them away from the the DS, Larry, or the little laptop or something.
But
get them outside, and I told my older son maybe you should stop hunting on the hunting games on your DS and come outside and enjoy, you know, life a little bit. You know, and it's just we're just joking around. But
I know I can so relate.
You bet. You know what? Let's finish up with a little history. You know what? And I was just telling Fred about what everybody thought that green peas were poisonous. Did you know that the earliest colonists brought peas to the New World on the Mayflower? That they were planted by Captain Gosnold and produced respectable yields on the island of Cuttyhulk. John Smith wrote of an abundant crop of peas in the Jamestown colonists in 1614. So it's kind of neat how far these go back. But again, a lot of times the peas were originally grown for dry seeds. In fact, a lot of people thought green peas were poisonous. Fresh-shelled peas were not even mentioned in history till the Norman conquest of England. By the end of the 16th century, peas were being perfected in Germany, Belgium, England, and the New World. So it's kind of neat to kind of see where it's originated from. I was talking about days of maturity. I'm learning more on that. Sticking a pea in the ground when it's cold probably will germinate right away because it's a cold crop plant. But think of other things. When you're looking at that label, try to remember, if the ground is cold, maybe, like beans, you want to wait on. I think a lot of times people say, boy, I did an early crop of beans, and my second crop almost caught up with my first crop. It was too cold. The seed was put in too early. So told you earlier, peas prefer fertile, sandy loam, good drainage, but will tolerate everything but heavy clay. Working plenty of compost to make the soil friable. pH level of 6 to 7.5 on peas is preferred. Where soil is very acid, apply lime or agricultural lime. If you've ever grown peas, why not try a bed of early bush peas? So a lot of times, sugar snaps, we as kids, I just loved to go into the peas. And a lot of times, I don't know, Larry, is if my mom and dad got all the peas back, Terry and me and Bonnie, we'd go down and pick them, sit there and eat them. So a lot of times I enjoyed working out in the garden just like Fred is with his grandson. So sow peas, I found out, put peas side by side by side. Carrots, you guys, have to be thinned. Peas do not. Peas fall over if you don't put them side by side. And don't over-fertilize. Peas don't like heavy food. So all these things that don't even know about crops. So stop into Waddell's. Come in and see us. Come for your plant for your health weekend next weekend. And love to have you back.
All right. Thanks, Andy. This has been Over the Garden Fence with Andy Waddell. Brought to you each Saturday by Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center at the corner of Milliman 12th Street. Join us again next Saturday morning for Over the Garden Fence. Coming up next, your financial planner.